You're not being harsh. You're not being unfeeling. But you are being assertive. And assertive is not mean being aggressive. It's being patient. Taking the time. Giving the time. Allow for the give and take. Allow time for transformation. Just simply because we speak our wisdom from on high does not mean it occurs immediately. And then there is bearing with one another. I love that one. You've heard me say before that as that same phrase is used, the same word is used in Galatians 6:2, that bearing with one another is simply putting up with other folks' idiosyncrasies. They're not like me. Well, thank God. But we also put up with other people's infirmities. Those are weaknesses, although they are not sinful in nature because they are a weakness. We're not talking just about willful sin. We're talking about brokenness of one that often is like a woundedness, a hurt that sometimes makes one a little more have a propensity for making a wrong decision or responding in certain situations in a way that's not appropriate. It's not to the will it to do so. It comes from a weak place. But you know, there's something else about this phrase, this word, is that not only is it a putting up with, but it's also a carrying. Bearing them, not bury, B-U-R-Y, B-E-A-R, bearing them, carrying them, helping them, ministering to them. Give them encouragement, giving them light to see their reality. Lifting them up, helping them. The intent there is to make them stronger. This is all seems strange to us, I bet. I really want to just share with you it's even a greater shame with us than any other denomination, non-denomination church in this town, except for New Covenant, because it shares the same heritage. And it's this. If there was a time in the life of the church where this was carried out from its beginning with such effectiveness, and it led to such transformation, not only within the body of Christ, but in the whole of the culture, it was with the Methodist movement. One of the reasons the Methodist movement led to such individual and social transformation was that they practiced this speaking the truth with these same qualities of grace. The class meetings and bands, those early small groups of the Methodist movement, were made up of those who had made a covenant to each other to watch over one another with love. The candidates for these bands, first you had the classes, they were a small group that could be an intermixed group, that is, it could be male and female. It was a little larger, it could be up to 12 people. The bands were smaller, absolute maximum of 5. And they were to be of the same gender. Now listen to some questions that somebody who wanted to be a part of a band, they had to answer with an affirmative. And I'm not sharing all the questions with you, but I am going to share a few of them this morning. First to the fourth objective, to speak each of us in order, freely and plainly, the true state of our souls, with the faults we have committed in and through word and deed. And then they're asked, do you desire to be told your faults? Do you desire to be told your faults, and that plain and home, that is, very clearly? Do you desire that every one of us should tell you from time to time whatsoever we fear, whatever we hear concerning you? Do you desire that in doing this we should come as close as possible, that we should cut to the quick and search your heart to the bottom? Is it your desire and design to be on this and all other occasions entirely open, so as to speak everything that is in your heart without exception, without disguise, and without reserve? All these are speaking the truth in love. It gets down to the nitty-gritty. It helps us, see ourselves as we are. It also equips us and encourages us to move forward in our faith. But I want to ask you, what about these questions make you uncomfortable? Well, I'll tell you what part of it is. First, it goes back to the fact that we have for far too long ignored truth. It's my opinion that counts. No, it's God's word that counts. That's the truth that should shape our lives. Secondly, speaking the truth in love implies accountability. A mutual accountability. Yes, we give license to being vulnerable, and we give license to being exposed. But what is that mutual accountability built around? Well, first, ultimately, it's to whom and what we are as Christians. It is to Christ. And the truth that he has borne witness of and lived. You know, I could have asked the rhetorical question with that, and I would have had to then say to you, well, it's the Sunday school answer. You know, to whom are we accountable? Well, the Sunday school answer is Jesus. You know, that's the correct answer for every Sunday school lesson. But he has revealed his will. He's revealed his way of life. We have seen it. It's an interesting use of the word here in 15 when he says speak the truth in love, because that word truth is not a noun. It's a participle. Truthing is the literal translation. Living out the truth. It's amazing what happens in groups like these, because it leads to such powerful and amazing transformation in one's life. I know this because I have experienced it. It leads to real discipleship. It helps one see clearly, more clearly, how to follow Jesus. And the truth is, as Wesley said, there's no such thing as private faith, religion. There's no such thing as private Christianity. It's all social. That is, we do so together in our relationships together. You know, there's two major groups that have used this speaking in truth and love in more recent decades. And they've done it just with amazing results. Can you name them? They use the same, a lot of the same questions. They use a lot of the same format. The first one I'll mention is called AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. The second one is called Weight Watchers. Generally speaking, these two have been fairly effective in the results they help bring about. I would submit to you that one reason the church here in the West has grown weak and has entered decline is the lack of this kind of practical maturity. We have not encouraged one another to speak the truth in love. And it shows. It also tells those who have some tangential, at least, relationship with the church, or able to be close enough, they can kind of look in, and they'll say, well, I guess it really doesn't matter then. If it's no more important than that, that we just let everybody skim by and do their own thing, then it really must not matter. So why would I want to be a part of that? You know, it's interesting that the younger generation, the Zers and the folk just before them, the Xers, I guess it was, they're going to some churches. They're being attracted to some churches, but the churches they're being attracted to are those who hold the highest level of discipline. Because it means something. It's worth something. At the very beginning of this section, verse 1, Paul writes, I urge you to live a life worthy, underline worthy, circle it, of the calling you have received. That word is an amazing word because it's actually used to describe, you know, if you can picture with me the scales of justice, you know, that go up and down, you want it nice and even level. Well, the word worthy meant to take the arm that was down and bring it up. To regain balance. It literally meant to bring up the other beam of the scales. To live a life in Christ to the point of being mature in Christ requires us to live a life of balance. We have gone hard and long for a after knowledge. We have gone and read all sorts of studies by all sorts of authors. We have read them and we've digested them, we discussed them, and then we shelved the book. What is needed is the practical maturity where we are able to practice. That is, we are to live out our faith. With those four graces of humility, gentleness, bearing with one another, and patience. I know that what I've said today may sound fairly foreign. But what it is a return to scriptural, biblical Christianity. Jesus said, a text that we don't like to hear very often, actually, if you love me, you will obey my teaching. Obey. To grow toward maturity in Christ requires obedience. It requires us allowing Him to shape us. John said that Jesus came in grace and truth. We like the grace part. We'll say amen to the grace part, But that truth part needs to be applied in our lives as well. And often the most gracious thing, the most practical thing, way that would help us move toward maturity in Christ is hearing or speaking the truth in love. Now that's a journey that I would like us to begin together. And we'll be talking in days to come about how we're going to do that. We need to be a body that is worthy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to use your word from this morning to speak into our hearts and lives and help us to draw closer to you and help one another to walk with you. We pray that we might be faithful. We pray that we might honor you. Lord, we pray that we'd be worthy, that we live a life that is both full of knowledge of Christ, but also of experiencing Christ. So in the coming days, speak to our hearts. Let us not set this word aside, but rather may your Spirit use it to speak to us throughout this week and to touch things in our hearts that need to be addressed. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.